Hi, this is Linda Weston, and you're listening to the Linda with a Y podcast. Hello, everybody. I have a very special guest for you today. Very special guest, Mr. Carol Daly. Woohoo! Carol is Mr. Dish of the Daily Dish. Carol and Gina Daly, Mr. and Mrs. Dish. Gina was on the podcast before, but a lot has happened since Gina was on, and I wanted to get her husband's point of view on everything that's going on in their amazing lives. They've welcomed a new little gorgeous baby, Jean. Jean has taken Instagram by storm. I don't know if anyone else does this, but I just go on Instagram to see baby Jean because he is so cute. He just be in the cutest little outfits, and Carol is just an amazing dad, and just seeing them with Jean and seeing their whole family, little Ben and Holly and their whole family. I say this in the podcast, but they need to get a camera in the house. I need more content. I need more Daily Dish content. So yeah, it was just sitting with Carol. I got all dolled up because I do my podcast over Zoom. I got all dolled up. I had my makeup on and I put on a cool Nirvana t-shirt, and then this is me all over, guys. This is the kind of podcaster I am. My camera wasn't working. And I was like, why isn't it working? I only know it was like just before Carol came onto the Zoom call. I was like, why does this happen to me? But it ended up being something very simple that my husband fixed in 2 seconds. But anyway, I was actually glad that it wasn't working, because there was some stories that Carol was telling me and I was bawling while he was telling them. I was like, this is actually embarrassing, because Gina sadly lost her dad throughout the year and Carol's just telling a story about that. And I just put tears thrown down my face. I was like, I'm actually so glad this camera isn't on. And then every time we spoke about little Jean, I actually talk about how much they have helped me through this year or the past few years with my little son, with Jordan, because I explain it all. I explain it all in the podcast. But they're helping so many people in so many different ways. So much more than cooking. It's just so much more than cooking, even though the cooking is good. It's some good stuff. Carol's actually very famous for his burgers, which I also mention in the podcast. Well, I'll stop talking about what we talk about in the podcast and let you listen, shall I? This is Carol Daly on Linda with a Y. Linda with a Y listeners. We have two-time best-selling author, king of making burgers, tattoo enthusiast, guitarist, and my favourite of all, the coolest dad of all time. We have Mr. Carol Daly.
Hey, how are you?
Carol, I'm so happy to have you on. I'm so excited. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really good. It's weird doing something without Gina, because everything we do together with interviews and stuff like that. Now, I know Gina's done a few podcasts, and yeah. I just haven't. So it's kind of, it's weird.
You're like, where is she?
I usually rely on her to be the funny one and the serious one. So I kind of have to be both now.
No, Carol, but I do be on your Instagram all the time seeing you with your new little babe. So you're an Instagram sensation as well. Come on, we have to get to know. That's what I wanted you on for. I wanted to know your side of everything as well. Do you know what I mean? Because you are exactly, you're one half of the Daily Dish, yeah. So it's good to hear it all. But as you said, you don't know what to do without her. So I want to know from the beginning, from the start, the love story of Gina and Carol Daly. You met each other and you were married within months. What the fuck?
Yes.
Tell us everything.
I know. It's pretty crazy. And it's something that at the time, like if you had said it to me a month beforehand, I would have gotten that a chance. We worked in the same company for years. Right. So I kind of knew Gina. Didn't know her very well, but I knew her. And I was working in the head office and she was the store manager, so I would deal with the stores quite a lot. I'd deal with the store managers quite a lot. Yeah. So we did chat regularly. Aww. And we just kind of, that was it, like, and we kind of went on with our lives and we were there for a few years. And I remember there was one day I was in our head office at the time was in Blackrock, right. And I had to go into Dublin to the big office, and I was walking past the store that Gina was manager of, and I just popped in to say hello, and she was on her own, and we just had a chat. Aww. And we were there for a little while, and when I walked out, I was kind of going like, she's really nice, away. Like, and that was it, like, and we went away and kind of went on with things. I was actually going away to the States the next day, and Gina was doing her own thing, and we were kind of, there was then a fast forward to maybe, I think it was probably around April, of the next year, and it was particular week. We were emailing that week. She was trying to get me to sort something out for her, and I was messing with her on the email, and messing became kind of
a bit of flirting. Yeah,
a bit of flirting. And I remember actually
email flirting.
Exactly, and she was kind of like coming back, like, you know, the same. So it was a bit of fun, but we kind of that was all week, and then kind of left it on the Friday, and I went into town because I worked in Black Rock, and I went into town on Friday evening for a few pints, and chatting away with the lads, and I was in the back of my mind, you know, the whole thing with Gina, and I just dropped her a text. Now, obviously, in hindsight, like 10:30 on a Friday night,
it's like, you up, girl, you up.
But I just said, like, I started texting her, like, how's it going? She wants to come for a pint. And she was going to a wedding the next morning in Limerick.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I'll come in for a drink. And she came in for, she came in to meet me for a drink, and she was late for her wedding the next day. And that was kind of the start. But like, I think it was one of, and it's really, really weird to say it, because I would have never, I suppose, thought of it myself beforehand. But when you know, and something just clicked.
Yeah.
And I met her for a coffee that week. And we went to get out again the following weekend, and and we had already, within 2 weeks, we were getting engaged. We booked a trip to the States in September. So we went, or was August or September? We went off for 2 weeks to Las Vegas and to Hollywood and Venice Beach. And we actually were planning to get married in Vegas, but we ended up, we did a property over here. But yeah, it was just one of those things where we just, like, it clicked. And it's funny because I remember chatting to my I'm an only child, and my cousin, I have a few cousins, and one of my cousins is very close in age to me, and we're like that, we're like really brothers, really close. Yeah. We still this day, like, we're still like brothers. And I remember chatting to him, and I was just saying to him, look, I've met a girl and it's really serious. And he was like, you're crazy, no, look, you need to give it time. Oh. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then I said, look, do me a favor, come out for a drink with us next week, come into town, meet us for a pint. And he did. And he turned around to me at the end of the night and goes, I totally get it. Like, I totally get it. Now that I see you together, I get it. Like, oh, it works. God. I get it.
Reel her in, kid. Reel her in.
He's like, you have my seal of approval.
That's so beautiful. And I tell you what, you can see it on screen, the two of you. It's just something happens when the two of you are on screen together. It's like, oh my God, them two are so in love. But guys, I tell you what, you stole my, well, it was probably yours first, but our song, mine and my husband's song. Well, I thought it was our song. The True Romance song, You're So Cool, that True Romance song. I was like, that's our song. Now, every time I listen to it, I just see Gina and Carl. That's all I see. I think
that was one of the first movies we watched. I remember saying to Gina, have you seen True Romance? Because I'm a movie nerd.
Yeah.
And we watched it together, and it kind of became our movie.
That's so cute.
But yeah, and we still to this day, we're like, we have to get Clarence and Alabama tattoos, and we will at some stage again.
Yeah, the tattoos. But so, talking about music, actually, so your Instagram is so different to Gina's, because I feel like yours is more, you talk about your music, your guitars and stuff like that. When did you start playing guitar?
So I suppose growing up as an only child, it was kind of, in one sense, it was a bit lonely, but obviously you had friends and everything else.
Yeah.
But in the other sense, it was really good, because I learned to be in my own company and be content with that.
Yeah.
And I think it was at a young age to when it comes to music, I was about 8 or 9, and my aunt and had her boyfriend, who she later went on to marry, had called over. And my folks, like most houses in the 80s, had like one of those hi-fis with cassette players and the record player.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said to me, he goes, have you any records? And I said, don't really listen to music. And he goes, I'll bring you down some records. So he brought me down 2 records. And one was a Jimi Hendrix, which was brilliant. The other one was this little small 7-inch. And I had this like skeleton dude on the front, like with holding the flag, and it was all, and I just was mesmerized by this artwork, and I was like, what the hell is this? It's amazing. I put it on, it was Iron Maiden,
oh my God.
And I think I wore the needle out from playing it so much, and I begged my mother to get me an album, so she got me an album, and I just fell in love with music. Like, it really, I think it's the most incredible thing in the world that it can do so much for someone. Like, by listening to a song, it can, you know, bring all these emotions on, and with that, for me as well, the guitar, and especially when you listen to the likes of Iron Maiden, because the guitar playing is phenomenal.
So yeah, I listened to them because I knew I was going to be interviewing you, so I was like, right, I'm going to get my Iron Maiden on. I'm freaked you can't see me, because I wore my Nirvana t-shirt, as I said. I want you to think I'm cool.
You can send me a picture.
I will. But so I listened to Iron Maiden, and I said the reason why he loves this is because the beginning of every song is this amazing guitar solo that makes it makes the anticipation of the song to come on. It's so good. I tried to play guitar, God love me, but my fingers are killing me. Are your fingers all hard at the top?
Well, I tell you what, actually, when I started doing it, I got this thing. It's like something you'd use in the gym for your fingers, and you kind of, it just gets them used to the pressure. But yeah, like when you first start playing, your fingers do, they kill you. but back then, I begged my mother. I said, I really want to play guitar. I really want to play guitar. And I'm looking at these guys in Iron Maiden. I'm looking at like Slash and Guns N' Roses, and I'm looking at all these like guys that I kind of would listen to and look up to. My mother bought me a classical guitar. So it's an acoustic guitar, but it's not even an acoustic. It's the classical. So it has the nylon strings and it's the big clunky head. And she booked me into these lessons, and I must have been about 11. And I went down, and the guy was this eccentric kind of foreign guy. I don't know if he was Swedish or not or whatever, but he was sitting down. He's like, what do you know? Why do you want to play guitar? And I was like, oh, I want to play, you know, rock music and all this. He goes, no, you need to learn classical. And he was trying to teach me this. And after one lesson, I said, I don't ever want to play guitar again. I hate it. And my mother said, Well, maybe a year or so later, we were I'm from Bray, and it was a cool little shop. I think it's still there, Everest Music Center. And there was one of the electric guitars, and it was a deal with the amp, and it was, you know, whatever price, it was cheap, and it was my birthday. So she got it for me. And she found a guy who was just incredible, this Portuguese guy. And he started teaching me what I wanted to learn and blues and everything else. And I just fell in love with guitar. I think it was about 12 or 13.
It's so good to find something that you love. And as you said, it's so cool. Like, anyone out there that's an only child will understand what Carol said here. It kind of gave you, kind of was your little phone in the house to go up and just play a guitar. Is that what it was?
That's it. And to this day, it still is. It was just one of those things where I just pick it up and I'd start playing it. And I never thought about being in a band or anything else. And I remember, I think I was about 14, and my guitar teacher was like, you know, Carl's playing is coming along really well. But I think what would really help him is to play with other people. Yeah. And he goes, I teach these two guys in Grey Zones. One is guitar, one is bass. I teach them, they're brothers, and they have a band, and they're looking for someone to come out and play guitar. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Now, what he didn't tell her was these guys were 16 and 17 years of age, all these big, long-haired, leather jacket, metalhead lads. And I remember going out, and it was, they were the nicest guys ever, really, really cool. And I think I played with them for about a year, and it was great for me, but it was great crap. But my poor mother, like, when she realized what was going on, like, but we had our first gig and everything, somewhere in Kilcool. And it was just really good fun. And then,
do you still remember the nerves of your first gig? Do you remember how you felt? Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I remember on stage, there was like we had little plastic cups with drinks. And I remember picking one up just before the first song, and my hand was like that. I was like shaking. It was really, really weird. But then I'll tell you something, when you play your first song and you stop and you hear that kind of clap and that roar from people, like that, you kind of go, wow, this is like, there's a buzz here. It's really good.
It's like the energy you feed off them. Do you know what's so bad? Like, that was years ago for you, but you still remember. I was always in plays when I was younger, me dressed up as like a fucking sunflower or something. But I still loved it. And you're right, the energy in the room. But that, you know what, that's what it is with you and Gene. I think it's your energy comes across on Instagram somehow. Just you have this, you're so cool. It's actually that sentence actually meant for the two of you, so I'm telling you now. So you met these rocker guys, and you played in the band with them. Are they the ones that made you get your tattoos, or what happened?
No. My love for, actually, the tattoos, it's quite funny, actually. I wanted a tattoo from, like, I suppose, that age. I mean, you know, seeing all these people. But I think I kind of knew that it's probably better to wait. I remember saying to my mom, and then my mother was, tattoos are for greers, the tattoos are for criminals, you can't get a tattoo, it's the worst thing in the world, right? And I remember saying to her, I want to get a tattoo. No, you're never getting a tattoo, right? So anyway, kind of fast forward to maybe, I think I was about 18 or 19, and I was in a band at this time, which I'd been in for a while, and that was the kind of the band I'd been in. I was in for like 4 or 5 years, and the singer was a little bit older than me, and there was a place in Bray, Lilac Lizard, and the guy who owned it, Wayne was saying, he was really cool, he was a tattooist, and he was a bit of a character. Yeah. And my friend used to get tattooed by Wayne, and I'd always go down and kind of hang out, and we'd all have the chats and stuff. And at this stage, I hadn't got tattooed. And I remember going in one Saturday or Sunday, we were chilling out, and Wayne looks at me and goes, I tattooed your mother yesterday. And I was like, no, what? You didn't. Would you get out of here? He goes, I did, I swear. I said, no, yeah, because he knew my family. And I was like, you didn't. And he goes, I did. And I said, what? Like, he goes, up on her shoulder. So anyway, I stormed off home, and my mother comes in the door from work, or wherever she was, and I looked at her and said, come here. I said, show me your shoulder. What? Said, show me your shoulder. And she pulls down the other shoulder. I said, no, show me the other one. No, it was, of all the tattoos, it was a tiny little Chinese symbol. I don't even think she knew what it meant. But I started laughing. I said, right, that's it, I'm gonna get covered in tattoos. I said, that's the it. And she just started like, no. But it was very funny.
What was your first one?
My first tattoo, funnily enough, being in the band I was in, there was one of the bands that I suppose we looked up to were from New York, and they're a hardcore band, which is kind of like a bit like punk music, but it's a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
And we'd been listening to them for years, and funnily enough, they were playing in Dublin, and the band I was in got to support them, got to play with them.
Wow.
In Temple Bar. And it was incredible. It was really good. And we hung out with them afterwards and stuff. And
oh my God, I was actually you're a rock going, star.
It was amazing. Like, it was just such a buzz. But I was going to New York maybe a month or two later. And I was chatting to the guys, where to go? And one of their friends owned a tattoo studio in the Lower East Side. And I was talking about getting a tattoo, and they're like, go to this tattoo studio. So long story short, the band, they have a little symbol, and it's like this little kind of dragon-y type thing. And I got it tattooed on my leg. It's only small, but I got it tattooed in that studio in New York. So I kind of had a bit of meaning behind it.
That's
as well.
That's so cool. And how many do you have now? God, like, can you
I don't know. Yeah, I genuinely don't know. It's that many. Like, I think I've both my arms, my hands, my palms, my stomach, my chest, legs, my head.
The head, what I love. Do you have Gina's name? You have to have Gina's name somewhere.
I've it on me I've got Gina's name on me two times, and then I also have a little G, because when I started to lose the weight, my wedding ring kept falling off, and Gina got it resized, and then it kept falling off again. So I ended up, I got a little G tattooed
that
on my wedding
deadly.
Finger.
That is deadly. Do you know what? Actually, I got engaged, and I was saying, there was no point in me with an expensive ring. It's just going to be lost within seconds. I'm a loser in the real sense of the word. I lose everything. And like something that was so expensive, I was like, I don't wear it at all. So I always look at your Instagram, go, Linda, just get a tattoo of it. It'd be so cool. But I want him to get a tattoo of it as well. I don't want to give up my body if he doesn't give up his, you know?
Well, there you go. That's a day out. Like, both of you going for, tattoos.
I'll tell him that Carl told me to do it. So as you were saying there, when you were losing the weight, like you'd never think you ever had any weight on you, ever. You'd never see it ever in you. Like, so what made you start the healthier lifestyle?
I suppose I finishing school and college and whatnot, I did a bit of traveling. So I went to Interrail and I came back and I thought, wait, this is really cool. I want to see more. So I went off for a year in Australia and Thailand and New Zealand and stuff. And I came back again and I was like, right, I want to go away again. So I'm going to get a job and I'm going to save for 6 months. And I ended up working in that company for 10 years. And that's where I met Gina. Oh. And it was an office job. So it was kind of shirt and tie. And you kind of get into this lifestyle of, and then obviously myself and Gina got married. We bought the house and I was commuting in and out. So I was literally Monday to Friday, kind of 9 to 5 job, but I was leaving 7, coming home at 7:30 at a desk most of my day. And you're just kind of eating away and work, you're not even thinking sometimes because you're going from meeting to meeting, you know, whatever. And you just, like, not that I was, I don't think I was ever like hugely overweight, but I did have a
you
lot
weren't
of weight
at all. But then when you see the pictures of you bigger and you see you now, it's my, like, when I see you bigger, I'd never think, oh, Jesus, he has to lose loads. But then when you see you now, it's your little face. You just got this little face now.
yeah, I think it's when I finished that up and we decided, because the company changed hands and we all, the most of the staff that had been there were all made redundant, and myself and Gina kind of decided we wanted to do our own thing, and we started that. And at that point, Gina was like, I think I'm going to, you know, eat a bit healthier, lose a bit of weight. And I started too, and it's only when I started doing it and I felt that bit better myself, I went, wow, this is actually, you know, I feel good. I feel, you kind of do, you get a buzz off it. And I was never into gyms or like, I could never do a gym. So what I used to do is I used to go running. Yeah. I put my headphones on and I just go for 30 minutes and come home. And I used to love that. It was really good. It's great for clearing the head as well. And totally. Between the running and then the kind of switching what we're eating, that it kind of helped lose the weight. But the thing, and Gina said it before as well, what kind of made it monotonous was the food was shite. It was just like boring. There was nothing exciting about it.
Yeah.
So you'd be kind of going, like, you're living for the weekend because you're going to Eddie Rockets for a burger or something like that. So
and
then I think
you changed all that, sweetie. You changed all that single-handedly. So you didn't cook loads before you started the healthier lifestyle, did you not? Did you not make your own recipes, kind of?
No, not really. I mean, even like I'm thinking back to when I was younger, even when I lived in my parents' house, the only time I cooked was I was a vegetarian for a short period of time. And my parents obviously weren't, so I cooked my own kind of food then, but it wasn't ever exciting. And then, like, when we were living together, we bought the house and all that, and the kids, we just kind of, it was more just quick convenience food. So what's in the freezer, what could we bung in the oven and stuff. There was never any, like, maybe once a week I'd dust off a Jamie Oliver book and I'd go, right, I'm gonna have a go at making something here tonight. And then you'd realize half the ingredients, you'd have to travel like an hour up the road to get them. So I'd kind of, we'd bring the chipper instead.
And I think as well, when you're first together, like, you do put on a bit of love weight. Like, it's like, going out for me. Oh, gotcha. You're so happy. Like, oh, he loves me for me. Let's eat whatever we want. You know what I mean? That is what it is.
All the takeaways and all the points.
Exactly. It's just the excitedness of, like, the first time together. But my favorite recipe from you guys is, and it's so simple. It's literally, like, the simplest thing ever. But it's the cheese sauce.
Cheese sauce.
Like, it changes any meal. Just throw on that cheese sauce. You're the king of burgers.
Chips. Tacos, anything. It's brilliant.
Anything. What? But now this might be asking it nearly, what's your favourite child? But what is your favourite burger?
My favourite burger, actually, would you know, it's one of those things where I don't know if I could pick one. We were working on something this week, and we were creating a couple of burgers. And I have to say, the ones we were working on were actually pretty awesome, pretty different. But I think I always go back to, like, the classic double cheeseburger, because that's something you're never going to get bored of. But in saying that, I always like to change it up. And, you know, I think people think a burger is a burger. It's not. You can do so much of it. One actually in our first book, and it's a burger stuffed with blue cheese. And I know some people kind of get a bit weird about blue cheese, but it's just in the burger, the taste and even the flavors, it's just incredible.
Carol, I was saying to you when I was trying to get you onto the podcast, we need a burger van. We need, or just like a restaurant. Do us a favor. When I said I was going to get you on the podcast, I was telling my friends, because we're all strangely obsessed with the dailies. Like, it's there's something wrong with it. We need a camera in there. Get a camera in the house. We need more content. We need more content. But they were saying, tell them that you need to open a restaurant. We need to be staring at it. Because you know what as well? If you want to eat out, you're always kind of afraid. If you're on a diet, if you're trying to eat healthier, you're always kind of afraid of the calories. But yours, it looks so dirty and so, like, fat anyway. But it's so, like, not that it's absolutely amazingly good for you, but it's still within the calories. And it's still within the sins or whatever.
Yeah. I think it's that was the thing with us. You just make it using lean or mince. And you know, at the end of the day, it's meat and veg with a bit of bread. And it's just how you present it. And you're kind of almost tricking your brain, because when you buy it, you go, how can this be healthier than, but it is, because it's not dripping with grease and everything else. But yeah, I mean, that was a thing. And after a while, then it becomes, the buzz is like, how can we, like, create more, and how can we do something different? And you know, I think it's something that, you can touch wood, yeah, we haven't got bored of yet. But
We haven't got bored of it yet, sweetie. Keep it coming. Cara, what was it like for you this is why I really wanted your perspective, like, when Gina got told that you're making the book and you were going to put the recipes in it as well, then you get the second book. Was it just like, what was it like?
It was unreal. And it still is. It's like, to this day, like, when I'm out and I see the book in shops and stuff, I still kind of get a moment of, like, oh my God,
this is
crazy. It is. Yeah. It's crazy, because I suppose, like, it's different maybe if you're younger and stuff like this happens, you're kind of more used to it. But, like, you know, we're just Gina and Carl, and all of a sudden, you know, when Gina was approached by Gil to write a book, I remember she came home from the meeting and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then as Gil, because that's, I had only kind of started my Instagram a little bit before that, and then Gil were like, we'd love to involve Carl in it and maybe, like, you know, get his side of it and kind of as the couple as well. And it was kind of something that it was either going to make or break us working together and doing that. I think it really brought us that bit closer together. Oh, but it was so exciting. But the thing is, with the first book, right, if you think about it, like, we had been cooking together probably for a year before that. So the recipes were there. It's just a case of, like, putting them down on paper and kind of refining them. But then when this first book came out, we got a call going, guys, we want you to write a second book. And we also want you to do a diary. And the diary is going to have 25 recipes. And the second book's going to have 100 recipes. You know, we want them all in the next kind of 7 or 8 months.
You were like, oh no.
So yeah, it was like, oh my God. And we were like, okay, we're either going to do it or we're not. And it was just, it was such a buzz creating. And obviously COVID at the time as well. So everyone's in cooking. But I think what really got us going was, When our first book came out, it's when COVID and lockdown and everything else started. And a lot of people who maybe weren't cooking at home as much were cooking at home. And we were getting all these messages of people and sharing our recipes. And that really motivated us to go, like, oh my God, this is amazing, seeing people, like, recipes that we did in our kitchen, they're making in their kitchen. And that really pushed us to kind of to go and create more and see what we could come up with next.
And it was just, oh God, riding the wave with you guys has been unbelievable, I have to say. But, you know, we love yous too on Instagram. Don't get me wrong, Carol. We love you and Gina on Instagram. However, I think a little baby has came and has stolen the show. We have a new Instagram influencer in the name of Baby Jean. But it was a whirlwind few years, as you said, full of highs and lows. And we were there, which is every step of the way. So it was like, It's like we all just became part of your family. Well, I know me and my friends anyway. You want to see how much we talk about you in our group chat is weird. I just want to say it's actually strange. You wouldn't even be talking to me now. You'd be like, she's a freak. But for you, now we have little baby Jean. What's life like now?
It's amazing. And it's it, again, like, you know, I suppose, like, wind back a few years, we have Hallie and Ben, and yeah, we were kind of like, you know, that was it. We were done and everything else. And then kind of during lockdown, Gina got pregnant, and it wasn't something that was planned, but it happened, and she had a miscarriage, and it was a really difficult time, and especially for Gina, because it was something that I think she didn't really she didn't know how to take it, and you know, it was, and for me, I think what happened with me was all I was concerned about was being there for her and making sure she was okay, and it never hit me until months later. And it was really, really horrible. Like, it was really, really, and I mean, there's so many people that have experienced it and gone through it. And it's just one of those things where I think it made us realize that we were missing something. And then when baby Jean came along, it was just, I think, and because I suppose as well, like back when Hallie and Ben were born and were young, I was working in the city most of the week. So I only really saw them.
Yeah,
whereas now, like, Gene, every morning he gets into bed with us somewhere sitting, and I do be sitting on my computer working, and he's sitting on my lap, and I'm working, I'm getting work done. He's just sitting watching me typing and doing stuff.
Oh my God.
But I think he's brought so much happiness into the family, and with Gina's dad, obviously sadly passed away recently, but he just loved Gene. And I remember, because when Gene was born, they kept Gina in hospital for a week because Jean's weight was a bit low, and they were just keeping an eye on her. And every day I'd go in twice a day to visit them, and I'd come home, and every day her dad would be standing there going, she's coming home, and she's coming home. And I'd be like, no, it'll be tomorrow. And I went in the Friday morning, and she goes, I'm going to come home this evening. So I went back in the evening time, and I said, right, come on, we came home. And Gina's dad, he was in a little cottage behind our house in the back garden. And I went down to him, and Gina and Jean were on the couch in the kitchen. And he goes, well, I said, look, it'll be Monday. And he goes, God. And I said, look, will you do me a favor? I'm after getting a delivery and I need a help opening because it's quite a big box. And he was walking up to the house, and he walked up to the back door, and he looked, and he saw the two of them.
Oh my God.
And he looked at me and goes, yeah, bollocks. And then he just burst into tears, and
he went over here.
It was the most incredible to see him, and it was just, and he just kept looking at me going,
he was such a character, and it was so, look, it's all meant to be in the end. Like Jean got to meet him, and he got to be there with him for the last few years, and I love you so much, and thank you so much for showing that part of your lives as well, because so many people go through it. And as you were saying as well, when Gina having the miscarriage, I really wanted to get your perspective of it, because everyone is always, and of course they should be, worried about the mom. How is the man? Yes. But the daddies feel it just as well.
100%. And as I said, I didn't deal with it at the time. I just kind of focused on Gina and focused on everything else. And obviously we were writing a book as well at the time. We were working on our second book. And we had all these deadlines to do and stuff. So I kind of just got it focused on that and focused on Gina. And it was around Christmas time where we kind of wound down a little bit and we had time at home. It just really hit me. And it's really hard because I'm a typical guy where I don't really show my feelings like that. Yeah. So it was very difficult to kind of, like, I didn't really talk about it. I could feel it. And it was just really, really strange. And I suppose we got through it together, and we were, you know, that Christmas when her dad had come out to us, because that was just before he came to live with us. And we kind of, having that kind of whole family vibe in the house and everyone together really did help. And it does, even you mightn't sit and talk about it, but just having each other there and being around each other, it really does help.
And such big characters in the house. Is it actually mad for you as an only child having such mayhem in the house, everyone there?
It's crazy. Do you know what, this is great because I'm in a room with the door closed and it's like I have peace and quiet for a little while.
The minute you open that door, like,
the minute
all these hands like, coming in. I love it, and I loved how you had little baby Jean, and you said you had the coolest Instagram post that I'll never forget. He's born with an extra chromosome, which makes him that much cooler. It was just the coolest way to let the world know and let us all know. And at the time, I actually wanted to let you know this, at the time my little fella wasn't talking and I was very worried about him, and I had, like, the way I had approached it was I was stressed off my head, constantly worried. I just was constantly worried about him. And like, God love him, he's only 1.5 and I'd be waking him up like, school's in session, kid. Like, big blackboard by me. We are going to learn to talk today. And then we're around other kids. Other kids were like, hi, mom, chatting away. And I'd always be constantly worried. And what looking at you with little baby Jean made me do was made me calm down and say, Linda, just enjoy him. Just enjoy him. So from me and from anyone else that probably has a baby that... Any baby, every kid is different. You were helping so many people. So I just want to say thank you so much because he's really helped me. And now you're helping more people. You're the ambassador. You're the ambassador of the Down Syndrome Centre now.
So yeah, what happened there was Gina's sister-in-law had just started or recently been working with them. And we didn't realise this. And she got in touch and was explaining about the centre and what it does. And it's a really cool place. But I think what's important for us is, I mean, one thing when we started the Instagram and it started to get big or whatever, one thing we always kind of said is we're going to be us, you know, like our lump, like we are what we are. And some people like it and some people don't, and that's fine. But there's none of this, like, you know, one personality for Instagram and one, it's true to life and this is it. And with something like with Jean being born with Down syndrome, it's not something that we have any experience with, and it's all new to us. And like what you said there as well, like, the most important thing is he's a baby and enjoy it. But at the same time, there's people out there who maybe they're having their first child and there's stuff happening with them like that, and they don't know how to react, or they don't know what way to be. And I guess for us, because we've got a big platform, it's great to show people it's okay, and like, don't stress and just take it as it comes. You've got a beautiful baby, and like, Jean is teaching us every day just to chill out. And it's one thing actually with me, I can't sit still. I never have been able to sit still. I always are like hopping around the place. It's crazy. Gina hates it. And Jean has taught me to sit still. I'll sit with him in my arms. And once he's looking at me smiling, I'll sit there for an hour, 2 hours content. But I think it's important when you have a platform to be able to help people. And the amount of people that have gotten in touch and, you know, that are in similar situations, and they've just said thank you for, you know, for showing your how it is with you guys, and you know, it's given me a bit of confidence, or it's helped me. And
but that, I mean, is that, what it is. It gave me just a bit of, Linda, just calm down and just hold him in your hands and relax with him. Now he's talking now, right? But I had a year of I just felt so worried about him all the time because he wasn't on par with everyone else that was growing up his age. Do you know what I mean? So, but like, if I just watching you, it's so weird. You just need to go on to Instagram to see you with little Gene, and it'll just calm me down so much. But I tell you what, he is going to be an Instagram star himself. The photo that you have, my favorite photo of him is when you have the hat on him, you know, the straw hat, and he's so happy. He knows he's being really funny, doesn't he? Like, he's
like the man from Del Monte. Yeah. With a little smile on his face. And it's funny actually because he's his little milestones now, because obviously, you know, things are can be a little bit slower with them. Yeah. And the one thing we found, because we bring him for physio every couple of weeks, and he's great. Like, he's coming along great, but his arms, he wasn't using them as much.
Yeah.
He wasn't reaching and grabbing, and like that, you'd kind of put your arms out to pick him up, and he'd just look at you. And yesterday, for the first time, I put my arms out, and he put his arms out, and it was for tears. It was just like, oh my God. And now he's doing it all the time now, and it's amazing to see, you know, these little things. But like that, it's just a case of just he's healthy. Yeah. And he's happy, and everything else is going to come along.
And you're just helping so many people with that. So I just wanted to get that out there. I actually had, I'm glad I have my video off, because I had tears in my eyes when I was saying my little speech here. So what I wanted to really know, you probably have to kind of answer it there, but I know you can tell us more about it. You put your life on your Instagram pages, you write these books. What is your motivation behind it all? Like, what makes you go, I want to do this more? Mr. Dish, what is your why?
I think there's a few reasons. I think number one, I love it. Like, it's really, I spent, as I said to you, 10 odd years in an office. And don't get me wrong, I had a good job and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't me. And we're very lucky that we're getting to do something that we really, really enjoy. And it's, you know, it's like that. Like, if it's a case of, like, even before Gene came along, it's getting messages of people going, I never really cooked. I never had the confidence to cook. And, you know, your recipes are really easy, because they are. We're like, that was the thing with us. It was, you know, we wanted to make our recipes as easy as possible, because it doesn't have to be complicated. And the ingredients are stuff you can pick up anywhere. So it's a case of, look, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's all cook together. And I guess, like, when you see people doing that and cooking your recipes, like, it's the best buzz ever. Yes. And it really does motivate you to, like, we're already this morning, like, we're going to do this tonight, and we're going to cook this tonight, and we're kind of arguing over what we're doing tonight. And she's going to win, obviously. But no, but, like, that's the motivation. It's great. And it's like, because I wasn't really a big social media person before all this. I just, you know, I don't think I was even on Facebook before I started this. I was for a while, I wasn't. Yeah. But I think it's exciting. Like, yeah, it's exciting to, when you're doing something like this, when you're helping people and you're having a buzz from it, and the cooking and the sharing the recipes, and like being in a position that we were asked to write a cookbook. It was just incredible, and seeing that, and it's like we're still on that wave, like, as in our heads, it's still a buzz and we're still loving it. And it's just like no 2 days are the same, and it's exciting. And as I said, it's the interactions from people who follow us that it really pushes us along. When you see someone, that, it's like, you know, if you're in the band and you're on stage, when you finish a song, you get a cheer,
a little clap. Yeah.
Yeah. So when someone goes, I made your burger last night, or I made your pasta last night, and it was amazing. That's your clap, and that's like the most amazing feeling ever.
Oh my God, are you ever going to get back on a stage?
Do you know something? It's funny actually, because the guy. Well, back when I was like 15, a friend of mine in school, I told him to buy a drum kit or get his parents to buy him a drum kit, and they did, and we started a band, and that became the band I was in. Yeah. He's going to Iron Maiden on Monday, and I'm going to meet him up there. But we always do jokes saying we should get back together at some stage and do something. And I did a few years ago. The singer in the band, he was a little bit older. He moved to Italy. He married an Italian girl, and they lived outside Milan. And myself and Gina went over, and we visited them. And he actually was in a rockabilly band, and they were playing an outdoor show, American car show in Milan, which is quite funny, but it was really cool. But he said to me, come up and play with us. And I did. That was great crack. But I would love to. I think what stopped me playing like in a band was just time. Yeah. You know, especially when you have a family and you're working and everything else at the time. But I would love, and I will at some stage.
Oh my God, I'll be in the front row screaming. Come here to me. I can't believe you worked in a 9-to-5. I didn't know that. For anyone listening, because everyone, the way I see it, I'm in a 9-to-5 now. Working 9-to-5 in an office. Now come here. It has its perks as well. You know, it pays for the family. We're all grand. But I always think everyone sitting in an office, I'm like, you all have a dream. What's your little dream? Yeah. No 5-year-old is like, I want to work 9-to-5 on a desk.
No.
And you're living the dream. Mr. J, you're so right. Cool. Woo-hoo. Let's give another clap. Giving up your Saturday morning to talk to Linda with a Y listeners. You are the coolest guy ever. I love you.